Psalms 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us this morning. And, Lord, I believe probably the vast majority of the folks that are gathered here are born-again Christians. They've been saved. They look and look back at a time in their life where they've received Jesus Christ as Savior. However, for every one of us in this room, it was true in our lives that there was a time that that wouldn't have been true. We all were lost at one point. And there may be someone here that's without Christ as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that today is the day that they would be saved. And Lord, that you would use the preaching of your word to bring them, Lord, under conviction of their sin and to help them discover the wonderful Savior that awaits them with open arms and a willing heart to forgive them and accept them and bring them into the family of God. Lord, we're mostly going to be preaching to Christians this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use this morning's message to prepare our hearts for the week ahead. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. Let me have you look right up here a minute. Let me just sound a little bit of an alarm because I'm very, very, very worried about something. I'm very concerned about something. This has been bothersome to me for the last several years. But folks, I'll tell you what, you talk about the devil being the prince and power of this era. Man alive. You talk about times wax, the end times and things waxing worse and worse. I worry and pray probably more than I ever had in my life. Right now, I spend time invested praying for our children and for our young people. And, you know, what you read in the paper every day, it's just absolutely, as a parent, just scares you to death. Let me say this. God loves children. Jesus loves the little children. Can I tell you something? Satan hates children. Oh, yes, he does. Satan hates children. If he had his way, he would see that every precious young person in the world, their life was ruined. He'd like to kill them. He'd like to destroy them. He'd like to ruin them. I'm reading the papers, as y'all are. What in the world's wrong? You know, children used to be our most sacred commodity. Children used to be the thing that everyone in the community, everyone in the neighborhood, whether they went to church or not, but everyone was on guard to watch over children. I remember talking to Brother Jeff Scales, and him and Tammy had a little scare here several months ago with Trevor, and they had to have Trevor rushed to the hospital. And the signal went out, the call went out over the radio that it was a child. And the paramedics got on the radio, it's a child. We got to get this child to the hospital. And they got out to 41, and policemen had raced to 41 and shut off traffic both ways so that that ambulance could have free scope, escorted them right in. Said they probably made it there in record time getting him to the hospital. You know why? A child was in trouble. A child was in trouble. And I talked to Brother Eric about this later, and he said, let me tell you something. It's important for everybody to get help, but there is something about when a child's in trouble that everybody's adrenaline pumps a little faster and everybody's a little quicker and everybody's on a little more edge. You know why a child's in trouble? We have an epidemic, a wicked epidemic sweeping America. Children have become the number one target and are becoming the number one class of victims for sexual predators. Children are being murdered. Children are being abused. It's something's happened in our society. Something's happened up here in the minds of men. I mean, an old lost drunk 100 years ago would have fought somebody to the death to protect a child. I mean, something's wrong. Let me just say this to you. And again, folks, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I mean this. I don't know what's in people's past. And you know what? Thank God God's a forgiving God. Thank God none of us are going to stand and be accountable that are saved for our sins. We'd all be in trouble. But where did this shift start? I'll tell you where I think it started. I think it started back when nine men in black robes with black hearts voted that it was all right to take the lives of unborn baby in this society.
Amen.
And by the way, when are judges supposed to make laws? When did that happen? What happened there? It's not supposed to have happened. Our society is upside down. The judicial system's out of control. They need to be put back in check, the proper checks and balances that our forefathers wrote the Constitution for. But they're gone amok. Not interpreting law, they're creating law. And that law would never have been passed in our Congress. To this day, that law would never be passed in our Congress. No president would ever sign off on the right of to abort a child, but a judicial system made it legal in America. And all of a sudden, we began to accept the idea that the unborn children can be, their lives can be taken. And by the way, they're not fetus. They're not a fetus. They're a child.
Amen.
They're a child. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1.
Amen.
God said that he formed Jeremiah while he was still in his mother's womb. Matter of fact, he had already ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations while he was still in the womb. God's hands are actively in the womb of every woman forming the child that's being formed inside of her. And it's a wicked thing when a doctor can decide that he's going to reach in and grab a human life and rip it out of the hands of Almighty God. It's a wicked thing. Now, folks, we can't back up on this. I don't care how you vote, and it's not my job to get up in the pulpit and tell people how to vote or who to vote for. But I am telling you this. I don't know how anybody in good conscience can vote for somebody who is pro-abortion.
Amen.
You can say anything else you want about them, but if they're for baby killing, then you ought to be against them.
Amen.
Because ultimately, that innocent blood that's crying from the ground is going to be one of the main reasons that God takes this nation to task. And I don't think it's that far away.
Amen.
I don't think it's that far away. Folks, just a handful chain of events could bring this country to its knees. We act like we're untouchable, but we're not untouchable. A handful of events, just a short few chain of events, could bring this country financially and militarily to its knees. Okay? And so America ought to be finding the sackcloth. America ought to be getting the ashes. You see, because what we've done is we've turned our back on our greatest resource, that's our children. We've got folks, predators, all over this community. I'm talking about within blocks of where we're sitting right here. And all over this community, we have people that have proven time and time again that their purpose, one of their purposes, is to hurt children. Okay? I'm talking about repeats. I'm talking about over and over again. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, everybody's accused isn't guilty. I understand that. But folks, repeat. What's wrong with society? You know, they're breaking into the very homes while the parents are sleeping, going right into the bedrooms and taking children right out of the homes. Moms and dads, remember when you used to be able to say to your kids, hey, Mom, we're going to take our bikes and ride around the country block. See, we'll be back in a few hours. And you went, sure. And they'd always say, hey, we want to go to the country store. Well, maybe that was us. We want to go to the corner store down there. Can we have a quarter? Can we have 30 cents? Can we have 15 cents for some candy and a pop? That's back when you could actually buy that stuff for that amount of money, you know. Hey, go ahead. You didn't think a thing about it. Now, my goodness sakes, it scares you to death when they get out of eyesight, doesn't it? I want to preach on this, the importance of children. The importance of children. Now, we're entering into Vacation Bible School week. And folks, I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I'm preaching to a church that's already sold on this notion that it's absolutely important that we reach the next generation. Absolutely, vitally important that we reach the next generation. And we have a church filled with people, with adults right now, that are actively involved in ministering to children, picking up children, teaching children, helping children, involved in all kinds of ministries around here for the purpose of helping children. and winning children to Jesus Christ. But I just want to take a few minutes and look at the Bible this morning and remind us how important children are. I believe the children in this church are our greatest and most precious commodity. Folks, we have to pay the price and do whatever we have to do to bring up the next generation behind us to love God and to serve God with all of their hearts. First of all, to win them to Jesus Christ. Then to teach them the Scriptures. And third of all, to train them to be ready and willing to step in place here when it's their time to become young adults and pick up the mantle and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Blessed Hope Baptist Church has to be about. It's what we have to be about. But first of all, let me take a few minutes before I talk about the importance of children in the church and take a minute and preach on the importance of children in the home. The importance of children in the home. Psalms 127, notice this, verse number 3. I think this psalm teaches us that there are four great truths concerning the importance of children in the home. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, children are an heritage of the Lord. Children are an heritage of the Lord. You know what? We need to begin to look at children like society used to look at children, like moms and dads used to look at children. Folks, children are not an inconvenience, they're an heritage. They're not an inconvenience, they're an heritage. They're not something to get rid of, they're something to hold on to. They're not something to avoid, they're something to pray for. And the children are an heritage of the Lord. We've got a society that's making some crazy decisions. Young couples getting married and saying, you know what, we're going to wait and we're going to pursue careers and we're going to make monies and we're going to build a mansion and we're going to have all we want to have. And then if we have time, some time down the road, maybe we'll have children. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That may be what society teaches you, but that is not what the Bible teaches you. God says that he that would that the younger women bear children. And you know what? They are an heritage of the Lord. Number one, they're a heritage. Number two, it says this, that the fruit of the womb is his reward. That word reward's an interesting word there. It literally means a payment or salary or compensation or wages, a payment of a contract. And you know what the payment of the marriage contract is? Children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Ladies, can I share something with you? God looked down and first of all, number one, created you to be a helpmeet to your husband. Your children are not number one and should not be number one in your life. Okay? You may have already done this. You've already may have become so heavily invested in your children that you ignore your husband. One of these days, those children are going to grow up and they're going to move away. And you know what? You're going to live in the house with a stranger. You must keep that marriage number one sweet. You know what? The greatest thing you can do for your children is keep your husband number one in your life. Okay, these kids are going to leave. They're not going to be there all the time. They're not going to be there for the rest of your life. You pour all of your life into them and ignore your husband. One of these days, you're going to wake up strangers in the house. You see. And so number one, God didn't look down and see a baby. Say, I'm going to, you know what? It's not good that that baby be alone. I'm going to make her a mother. Didn't do that. He saw a man and said, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. And then you know what? The reward of that contract is children. Amen. And so number two, ladies, I think your greatest job after being a wife is to be a mother. Praise the Lord. And Brother Epley did a great job on Mother's Day showing us and just reintroducing to us the idea that women ought to just go back to being moms. Go back to being moms. Nothing wrong with that. You know, why is it so uncomfortable to preach about these things in this society? It shouldn't be. This ought to be ABC, first grade level Christianity. I mean, mamas, stop worrying about what career you're going to have. You got a career. It's called raising children. Amen. Love them kids. You know, what Dr. Bill Rice used to preach, love them, learn them, and lick them. That's a pretty good outline. That does pretty good still today. Love them, learn them, and lick them. Okay? And somebody's got to be there. It's not daycare's job to raise children. I'm just making myself so popular this morning. I think I'll run for president after this morning. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. You know, if you don't like it, you got several pages you're going to tear out of this. Just do it, I guess. You know, what's wrong with us, instead of looking at the Bible and wanting the Bible to change to match us, what's wrong with going to the Bible and us changing to match it?
Amen.
Okay, society's run amok. Society's a mess. Okay, they don't have the answers. If we're looking at the world system and trying to pattern ourselves after that, we're in trouble.
Yes,
you see. And, we need mamas. It's a reward. It's a salary. It's compensation. It's wages. It's blessings from Almighty God. God blesses a marriage with children. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Ladies, listen, I've never been a mom.
That's obvious.
Okay. So don't get mad at me when I say this, but I'm a little tired of people complaining about the kids. You know what? Millions and millions of women did it before you. Okay? Get rid of the martyr syndrome. Get rid of the martyr syndrome. I mean, they're a reward. They're a heritage of the Lord. You see, it also says this. They are arrows for the battle. They're arrows for the battle. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. And daddy, that child is to be shapen and raised and prepared as a weapon against Satan. I mean, everybody in here ought to want your child to grow up and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all his life.
Amen.
Everybody in here ought to just say, you know what I want for my children? Listen, forget dreaming about how much money they can make. Forget about trying to decide what career they ought to have, where they ought to go so they can make the most money. Why don't you just say, Lord, help them to be arrows against the enemy.
Amen.
Help them to be arrows against the enemy. Well, we need young people to grow up and serve God. We're going to need Sunday school teachers 10, 15 years from now. We're going to need more bus captains. We're going to need, I mean, Brother Frank's not always going to be able to do Master's Club. I hope he does it for a long time. He's not always going to be able to do it. I'm not always going to be around. Okay? The older generation's not getting younger. They're getting older. Well, we need young people to grow up and serve God. Arrows for the battle. Number four, they're an answer to the enemy. They're an answer to the enemy. Verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Can I tell you, young people, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you all to look up here and listen to me. Your parents have given you a good name. If your parents are independent, fundamental, Baptist, sold-out Christians, and they're doing the best they can to raise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, you hold their testimony in your hand. You know what I hear around the community here? They can't figure this church out. They just can't figure this church out. I tell them, I can't either. Join the club. They want to say this bad about us and that bad about us and this bad about us. But the last thing they always say is, but man, have you seen our young people? You know, young people that grow up and maintain a good Christian testimony and do the right thing, you answer to the enemies that wait at the gate. Okay? You're either our defense or you're an offense to the name of Jesus Christ. And you hold that in your hand. You hold it in your hand.
Amen.
Okay? The decisions you make will either bring people in the door or make them vow never to walk in the door. It'll either bring people to Christ and convince them this is a better way, or it'll allow them to have somebody to point out and say, see? So you ought to live your life in such a way so that you are an answer to the enemies of Jesus Christ. I don't know about all them standards. And then they look over and say, but look at their kids compared to ours. I don't know about them taking them out on Wednesdays and making them. You know, we make them. We make them go out and knock on doors. Yeah, we do. You got a gun. We march them out there. Got them. I mean, you know. I don't know about them pulling them out of the system and isolate them down in that church basement. Lord knows what they're teaching them. I just don't believe it. I just think Christian education, those kids just miss so much. They just miss so much. Yeah, they do. They miss hearing God's name blasphemed every day. They miss the drugs. They miss the immorality. They miss out on all of the profanity. They miss out on, yeah, they miss out on a lot. They're just missing it. You see. Young people, is your life an answer to the enemies in the gate? Are you an answer to the critics, or are you ammunition for the critics? Are you listening? See, children are an heritage of the Lord. The importance of children in the home. Number two, there's only 2 points. Each one have 17 subpoints, but they're the importance of children in the church. Look right up here and listen to me. I love this. I think it was last fall we had Children's Day. Children's Day. I called Jeremy Rands down at Milford, Ohio, and said, Jeremy, bearing precious seed, I said, I would like some nice New Testaments, I want to give them out to the children. He said, how many do you need? I said, I don't know. I said, I never know how many. Just send me 200 of them. So he sent me 200 New Testaments. And we got up on Sunday morning here, and we said, folks, every Sunday, by the way, it's the same way there. Now look around at the crowd here. Are you looking around? Isn't God being good to this church, by the way? Isn't God blessing this church? Now, there's still some of the Wood family that I see here and there that I'd like to eliminate, but God's being good to the church here. He's being good to Blessed Hope Baptist. Shake your head. Yes. He's being good to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. I know you got your 4 things on your list, but He is being good to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I said, but you know, it occurred to me, everybody that shows up here, most of the people never see what's going on in the rest of the building on Sunday morning. So I said to the leader of our primary church and a leader of our children's church and a leader of our junior church, I said, listen, when we start Sunday morning service, I want you to get all these kids out of all the areas and corners in this building. I want you to line them up. And I said, when we go to announcement time, I want them to come right in that door, come across the stage here, and I want to shake their hands and hand them a Bible. And they went right on out that door. And we started with the nursery. Remember that? How many were in that service? Wasn't that fun? And the piano played some kind of children's marching music. I remember looking over and saying, playing something that's children marching music, you know. I mean, and here they come, and we just sit there, and I got to shake every one of their hands and hand them a Bible and tell them I loved them. That was fun. Then we had some left over, so I said, man, let's get the rest of our young people up here that aren't in the children's church, and we run them through here. And at the end of that, I think it was Brother Poet. I told Brother Poet at the end of the service, I said, hey, how many Bibles do we have left? He said, he went back there and come back and said, we have 27 Bibles left. 27 Bibles left. 173 school-age young people walked across this stage on that morning just to get a New Testament. Man, I thought I was only going to order 150. I'm glad I didn't do that. Now, by the way, what are you saying this for, Brother John? I'm saying this to say, thank God this church has a burden for young people. Amen. Folks, we're out here in the boondocks. We're in a town of 1,500 people. Okay, we're out here nowhere, and that morning, 107. I got to give away 173 Bibles to young people. You know why? Because they're important at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Brother Frank, I appreciate it. Brother Frank, 2 or 3 times in the last probably year has come to me, he said, Brother Jerry, I just want to say something. He said, first of all, he'd always thank me for letting him work in the Master's Club. He loves Master's Club. And of course, Pastor Ross recruited him, and that was just a fit. Him and Sheila, man, that was a fit. But he came to me and said, Brother Jerry, we can't lose. We can't lose the priority, the vision of the children. How many of you ever been to a church where, have you ever walked into church to visit on vacation? You walk in and you look around, and there's maybe 15, 20, maybe even 30, 40 people in this church, but everywhere you look, there's senior citizens. I mean, there's no nursery. I remember me and Cheryl visiting churches in Brazil, Indiana, before we started the church over there. Visiting churches and bringing in our children, and they absolutely, the vast majority of them didn't have a nursery, didn't even prepare for one. They didn't have any need for one. I'm going to tell you, if you walk into a church that doesn't have children, doesn't have young people, you've walked into a dying church. You've walked into a dying church. And we've got to reach young people. We've got to go after young people. We've got to keep the buses running. We've got to keep the Sunday school classes full. We've got to keep the master's clubs going. We've got to stay after children. Why? Because if you stay after children, you stay after the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I think some of the most fun we have on Sunday, of all the things that happen on a Sunday, that it may not seem like much to you, but that 7, 8, 9 minutes of opening assembly in Sunday school, just to set up here and watch these children walk in the door and singing and buses arriving. And I told one guy, if you stand in the wrong place at the wrong time at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you'll be stampeded by kids. Be killed right there, killed. You know, that's the way it ought to be. It's the way it ought to be. The children are important. Now let me give you some things. Number one, we must win them to Christ. We must win them to Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter number 18. Let me give you three thoughts this morning. We must win them to Christ. Vacation Bible School is getting ready to start. By the way, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, each and every one of you that signed up to help in Vacation Bible School. All over the community, people say, how in the world do you do it? We heard you had 300 in Vacation Bible School. How in the world do you do it? Let me tell you, we could not do it if it were not for the fact that this church has a heart for children. We couldn't do it except for the fact that people are willing to sacrifice time and effort, because these kids are important. These young people are important. We must win them to Christ. Matthew chapter 18, let's look at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. What else do I need to say? Do you think they ought to be important in the church? Disciples come, and you know what? This disciple had been on a preaching tour and reached this city for Christ and won these people to Christ, and they're arguing back and forth several times in the Bible. They got in arguments amongst themselves about who was the greatest. And so finally, one of them had the gumption or the gall to go up to Jesus and said, who is greatest? And Jesus said, where's a kid? Where's? And by the way, I think it says here, doesn't it say he got a little child? He got a little child. You got a little two or three. You got a little toddler. Come here. Set it down in the midst of them and said, this is what it's about. Hey, disciples, stop bickering about who's the best preacher, the best soul winner. This is what it's about. This is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's about. I've talked about millstone justice in the past. I'm a little passionate about this, folks. To me, it's unthinkable what is happening when we victimize children. Jesus said, listen, to cause one of these to stumble, to offend one of these little ones, it's better that a millstone be placed around your neck. You say, Brother Jared, that seems uncaring and callous. Well, you're going to have to take that up with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand our judicial system. I don't understand it. That we as a country just will not step up and protect our children. We won't do it. Maybe it's because we would stand as hypocrites to protect them after they're born if we won't protect them before they're born. Boy, it's unbelievable to me. I love this fact that the Bible says this. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Folks, let me remind Blessed Hope Baptist Church, sometimes false doctrine wants to sneak in. Well-meaning people say things sometimes that are unscriptural. But I'm telling you, I've heard it murmured around in fundamentalism, this idea that children can't be saved. Boy, that infuriates me. Well, we got to wait till they're adults and then they can comprehend salvation. The Bible says just opposite. He said, if you adults don't become as little children, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. If anybody's got pure faith, if anybody's got some sensibility about them, it's not us that have got our minds all tainted and messed up with sin. It's a child who has a simple faith and the ability to believe very easily and an inborn knowledge that there is a supreme being. Boy, when you explain the gospel to them, I understand they have to be old enough to understand the gospel. I understand that there are certain things that they have to understand and comprehend in order to be saved. I understand there needs to be the drawing of the Father, conviction of sin. I understand all those things, but don't tell me children can't be saved. Don't tell me children can't be saved. Now, me and you are just going to go to war. What's this week about? Let me tell you what this week's about, getting kids saved. Woo! Getting kids saved. We'll have rally time. What do you do in rally time? Oh, we do so much tomfoolery, it's ridiculous. Then at the end of all of that, you know what we do? We open the Bible and preach to them. Well, we have a good time. And then we have an invitation, and we'll set up here at the front, and children will come up and line up and want to talk to us. And we'll say, if you want to receive Jesus, come. And you know what? Some will come, and some of them will have a heart that's convicted of sin and ready to be saved, and some of them will come just because they felt like it. Remember last year, a little girl got in line and she waited patiently, and I finally reached out, got a hold of her hand and said, "Why did you come today?" She said, we need to pray for my daddy. I said, "Well, okay." I said, "What's wrong with your daddy?" "Sometimes he's cranky." I said, "I can relate to that." So we had a little talk about maybe what was happening that made him cranky sometimes. And then we prayed together, and she was happy and smiling, skipped back to her seat. Amen. I know that every child that comes forward isn't ready to be saved, but a lot of them that come forward are ready to be saved. We must win them to Christ. Let me have you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Number one, we must win them to Christ. Number two, we must teach them the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Well, I want everybody to perk up and listen. We have got to hit a reset button here. I don't think we're not doing it. But we have got to understand the priority at this church, the priority of giving young people and teaching young people the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice verse number 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing them whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Listen, this ought to be true of every young person that comes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We ought to be able to say, from a child they have known the Holy Scriptures. From a child they have known the Holy Scriptures. You know what? I want you to have fun Sunday school teachers in your class, but I didn't enlist you to teach in that class to go in there and just have a good time. We put you there to teach the Bible. Now, if you got 15 minutes of tomfoolery and 15 minutes of games in the end of it and about a 3-minute devotional, you've got the cart pulling the horse. Listen to me. You go in there and teach the Bible. Teach the Word of God. Listen, if we're not going to incorporate the Word of God from the beginning of school to the end of school and in every aspect of the school, then let's close it down and send them back to the public school. Because without the Bible, Christian education is worthless. The Word of God, from a child they should know the Holy Scriptures. We had the kindergarten students on graduation come up here, and they each gave a verse, and they chose a letter of the alphabet to give that verse. It's correlated with that. But you know what? Every one of those children could start A and quote a verse, B and quote a verse, C and quote a verse, D and quote a verse, E and quote a verse for all 26 letters of the alphabet, and also some large portions. Say, a kindergarten student, that from a child they should know the Holy Scriptures. Well, we right now in children's church, listen, you say, what's going on? You just mentioned primary church and children's church and junior church. What's going on? Is that some kind of glorified babysitting service? No, right now they're hearing the Word of God. Amen. They're hearing the Word of God. So we've got to teach them the Scriptures. Vacation Bible School, we've got to teach them the Scriptures. That's what it's about. Get the Word of God in them. Get the Word of God in them. Get the Word of God in them. And the more Bible, the more better they're going to be. Number three, we must train them for future service. We're in 2 Timothy, so let's just look over to chapter 2 and verse number 2, and I'll finish with this thought. Four generations, by the way, in 2 Timothy 2:2. Four generations are represented. probably somewhere in this church right here, there's four generations in attendance here today. Think about this, four generations. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let me show you what Paul was saying there. He's saying to Timothy, he's saying, I taught you some things. So that's Paul's generation one. I taught you some things, Timothy. Now I want you to teach faithful men so that they can teach others also. Now, here's the deal. We're just not teaching them truth. We're teaching them to teach truth.
Amen.
If we just teach them truth, but we don't teach them to teach truth, then the next generation isn't going to get it after them. So it's not just about reaching the next generation. You hear a lot about reaching the next generation. I'm all for reaching the next generation. But we want to reach them and then teach them to reach the next generation. Doesn't that make sense to you? And so it's not, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's not just about teaching them truth. It's teaching them how to teach truth. I love when our seniors were sitting up here, and you know what? I just love them. I love every fact of how different we are from the public school. Don't come to me with the public school yearbook and say, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I already looked at that. And I do all of the things opposite that's in that book, all right? I'm not trying to make our school as much like the public school as possible with a Christian name on it. I mean, we're trying to follow the Word of God. And we get up here, listen, we don't get up here on their graduation, and when we're reading and introducing the seniors, talk about how many points they scored or how many trophies they won or the best looking or most popular or all this other nonsense. You know what we talk about? Where they served in the local church during their high school years. What areas they served God, teen soul winning, a teen choir, a helper in Sunday school, volunteer help in junior church. I mean, to me, that's what it's about. Listen, when they get to be teenagers, I love it when the seventh graders came into the youth department and we'd have a new crop come in, and I'd look at them and I'd say, hey, how you doing? Glad to have you in youth. For all of these 12 years, you've been sitting and listening and sitting and listening and sitting and listening, sitting and listening. All right, are you ready? Because now it's time to get up and start putting into practice what you've been learning. And do they still need to be taught? Sure, they still need to be taught. I still need to be taught. But the idea is that when they get to that age, hey, let's start plugging them in somewhere. Let's get them a desire. Hey, you can be a bus worker. Hey, you can help in the nursery. Hey, you can help out there in junior church. And give them a hunger and a thirst. And while they're out there learning, out there helping, they're listening, and they're learning, and they're being trained. And by the way, it's very easy for them when they graduate, 18, 19-year-olds, just to acclimate right into the local church in what God's called them to be a part of. That's the way it ought to be. That's what's important. And so what we've got to do is win them to Christ. Then we want to teach them the Scriptures. And then we train them for future service. You know why? Because generations come and generations go. But the work of God must go forward. There's nobody here that's irreplaceable. Not one man has ever died, and God looked up in heaven, looked down from heaven and went, oh no, it's over. It won't go forward without that person. We're all replaceable. We're all replaceable. But what we've got to do is train a generation to replace us. All of you that are overseeing ministries and working in ministries, when I send you a teenager to help, don't come talk to me and tell me about they don't know this and they don't know that. They don't know how to do this, and can I get you someone else? I'm not sending them to you as a ready product. I'm sending them to you so you can train them how. They need to learn. They need to learn. You know what? It's just as important for you to train future workers as it is to minister to the group that you're trying to minister to. Let me say that again. It's just as important that you train future workers as it is to minister to the group that you're ministering to. I'm talking right out there in junior church. Right there in junior church. Now, Brother Jonathan Reiser's usually out there. Now, he's there to minister to those children. But you know what he's also there to do? To train those workers to minister to children. He's got two jobs. Isn't that something? You see, Master's Club, it's not just those kids. Now, that's why you're out there. But you're training the future of Master Club by training the workers. You know, and that makes sense. Bus workers, stop. Listen, bus captain, stop abusing your workers. Why are you running a bus route?
I'm running a bus route so that maybe one of these days we can reach kids that will someday grow up and serve God. We've given you some that want to serve God. I'll just be honest with you. All those kids on the bus, I hope every one of them turn out. But the chances are, a large percentage of them aren't. But the workers, more times than not, will. So what we do is we train people. And then we find people that are not only teachable, but are trainable. Who are willing then to learn how to teach somebody else. Who will then turn around and teach somebody else. Boy, that's what we're doing here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, let's have a great week at Vacation Bible School. Let's have a great week at Vacation Bible School. Mama, Daddy, let me ask you something. Does your children have Christian parents? Do they have a saved mama that prays for them? Do they have a saved daddy that prays for them? The greatest gift you can give to your children is parents that are born-again Christians. The greatest gift you can give them is parents that are born-again Christians. I'll close with this. When I was 5 years old, I hadn't walked in a church probably that many times in my life. Hadn't been taken to church probably that many times in my life when I was 5 years old. We moved to Brazil, Indiana. My mom and dad were unsaved. I was 5 years old. Some neighbors invited us to church. I will say to this day, the greatest gift my parents ever gave me was to accept the invitation to go to a little Baptist church, sit there, and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and leave their seat and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because from 5 years old on, I had a Christian mommy and a Christian daddy.